when we think of what a prophetic word is, there are some things, there's a kind of a person we can become in order to start moving in that. If I want to move in the prophetic gift of prophesying, maybe I need to start of just speaking encouraging words to Janice. Maybe just little things. Hey, you look great today. Just encouraging you. I love your smile. I love your enthusiasm. Well, would that be encouraging to her? If you heard it, would it be encouraging to you? Sure it would be. Well, that's a type of encouragement. But if we just go and see the wrong thing in everybody, and we just refuse to speak kind words, encouraging words to somebody, even in the natural, I doubt if God's going to use us in a word of prophecy. You see, we can start out speaking encouraging words and allow God to pour his anointing on it, and you'll find that when you begin to speak encouraging words to people, sometimes all of a sudden you'll begin to say things that you never even thought of. Things will begin to well up out of your spirit, and you'll begin to speak things, and you'll know that the anointing of God is on. But if you never give God something to anoint, nothing's going to happen. In other words, if you never encourage somebody, God's got nothing to anoint in that area. But if you'll speak forth his word, God will anoint it. And you'll be surprised where people will say, I remember not too long ago, there was a politician in my office, and he was sitting in there, and he had a situation in his life, and he appreciated prayer, and so I began to pray for him. And I asked him, if I was okay, let's pray right now. And so we began to pray. And I began to just allow things to come out of my spirit to pray. And then I said amen. And I do this sometimes. I'll just kind of change the subject. Because I don't want to go further than where God is going at any given time. And we talked for a little bit about something else. And then he came back around to the prayer. And he said, oh, by the way, he said, those words were really powerful. They really ministered to me. They really touched me. And I'm thinking, God anointed what come out of my mouth. God, you know, from the time it went from my mouth to him, at least, God anointed it and moved upon him. You see, people, we can do that all the time. If we'll determine to speak encouraging, wholesome words that will build people up, we are giving God something to anoint. Or if a person needs healing and you ask them if it's okay to pray with them and so forth, and if they release you, you're giving God something to anoint. You're giving God something to pour out his spirit on. Because the spirit that is going to minister to them is going to come through you. And by faith, you put your hand out and allow them to come. Now, I believe that through recent years and the last while back, there was a time, I don't think it's nearly like this now, but it was overbalanced, I believe. But there was a time when ministers were treated almost like, let me put it this way, when it come to authority, almost like, you ever notice that, you know, you got to do what the doctor says? You know, that same kind of authority? Well, in some way, ministers years ago were treated like that. Ministry was a real place of honor. Now, I don't know what happened over the last, I think, 20 years, but in a lot of cases, that honor has dribbled out, even to the point where sometimes it's looked upon as in disdain. And I think that is a lie from hell. I think that people have looked, and some people have experienced, many people actually who have been in ministry, have experienced things that, who would want to go through that? Who would want to be up in front of people and be treated in the way many ministers are treated? Some ministers simply one thing after another. There's hurt and pain and betrayal and all that kind of thing. Because of this coming to the open, many people look at that and say, yeah, I don't want that. Now, I don't believe you should be in a fivefold ministry unless you're called to it. I think, you know, you have to have a calling. And I don't believe that we should step in over and above our measure of faith. Because if we step into a fivefold ministry, gifting, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, and we don't have God's calling on us for that, we're stepping out beyond our measure of faith and we're going to get in trouble. But if we'll stay within our measure of faith, I believe it is an extremely honorable thing to serve God in that way, to lead people, to be in the ministry of helps, that there is a place of honor. I remember hearing one English preacher saying to his son one time, he said this, he was one of the hierarchy of society, let me put it that way, and he said to his son, he said, "Son, if God is calling you to be a preacher, don't stoop to be a king." And I thought that's good, but when I heard it, I also thought of the converse of that was where he should have also said, "Son, as God is calling you to be a king, don't stoop to be a preacher." It's God's call on our lives that's important, not the position. It's God's call, whatever God is calling us to, that we have to step into. And this is the key. Now, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he said these words to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:1. He said, "Faithful is the saying, if anyone is eager to have oversight of a church, he desires a noble work." Now, in this, some translations have, "if anyone desires to be a bishop," but it's someone who has oversight. But you could take that in any area. If God has called you to be a leader in any particular area, if God has called you to any kind of ministry, you desire a noble thing. It is a noble thing to be called into ministry. And when I say ministry, I'm not talking about, you know, necessarily standing up and preaching to people. I'm not talking about having a worldwide ministry, a big ministry. You know, some of the greatest ministries in the world, nobody will ever hear of them, for the most part. But they'll be used mightily of God to advance the kingdom of God. And your greatest reward will come from your greatest obedience, not your greatest ministry, or not how great your ministry is. Your greatest reward will come from that area of obedience. And so I'm asking, putting this out today, is God calling you to excel in a certain area of ministry? You know it's on the inside of you, and you know you feel that if you could have some training a little bit in an area, that you could do better in that particular area. Is God calling you to that? Romans 11:13, the Apostle Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles." Now, when he says that word, "when I speak to you Gentiles," that we just read that and that's, he's just talking to non-Jews. But when you think of the implications of those words that Paul would write here, he said, "When I see," here's Paul, a Hebrew of Hebrews, that's how he described himself, and now he's telling the Gentiles, he's giving them the word of the Lord. He's telling them, "Inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify or take pride in my ministry." Now, he's saying, you Gentiles, you people who most Hebrews would never even speak to you, would certainly never enter your home, nor would certainly ever eat with you. But you Gentiles who the Hebrews would consider as dogs, I'm telling you, I am proud of my ministry to you. I make much of my ministry to you. I make much of God's calling. Now, the world and all Paul's colleagues would certainly, you know, first the Hebrew side of his colleagues, they wouldn't think that would, you're ministering to the dogs. You're ministering to the people that we don't want nothing to do with. And we're not even sure they can be saved unless they become Jews. Because that was the thinking of the Hebrew Christians. But yet the Apostle Paul was there saying, "Hey, I magnify my ministry to the Gentiles. I'm so glad I can minister to the Gentiles." He was, because God had called him to that, that's what got him so excited about it. Now the question is, what has God called you to? Don't minimize the calling on your life. He has called each one of us. He wants you to excel in whatever it is that he's called you to. It may be something that is looks so small to you that it's almost, you think it's insignificant, and so you're not stepping out in faith to cause it to grow. But that is simply a lie of the enemy. anything that God puts his hand upon can grow into something huge. If you have faith, the size and ability or potential as a mustard seed, anything can happen. Anything can happen. So Paul magnified his ministry. Now listen to this in Revelation chapter 2, 18. The angel of the church in Thyatira, to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, I know your works, I know your love, I know your service, I know your faith, I know your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. 8 times in Revelation, Jesus says, I know your works. Now notice, he did not say, I notice what you want to do. I notice what you say you're going to do. I notice what you're fixing to do. He didn't say, I know your heart. He said, I know your works, present tense, what you're doing now. I know your works. So Jesus is saying, I'm seeing what you're doing right now. There's some of us have to move from what we're doing now so that the Lord will be able to take us in to some things that are going to produce far greater measure in the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter what we're going to do. I know people who have got off in business and they're doing some things and the thought was when we get everything set in place and the finances come in and so forth, then we're going to travel and do ministry for the Lord. Jesus didn't say, I know what you're going to do and get all the money that you need to do it. He said, I know your works. I know what you're doing now. I know what's happening now. What are you doing with what you got in your present state? Remember, we were talking about vision a little earlier. God wants to increase that vision. Now, I want you to think about this, because what we want to do, I want you to realize, is God calling me to ministry? Whatever that might look like, I wouldn't even pretend to suggest to you what that would look like. When I knew God was calling me, I had no idea what it was. One thing I was sure of was that it wasn't to be a pastor. I was sure God hadn't called me to be a pastor. And I still just absolutely wonder at it. I remember one time I was preaching in a meeting, and there was, of course, Debbie was there, and there was 4 or 5 people, or even more than that, in the back. People who I used to party with. People who were, you know, as bad as I was. I remember thinking as I was preaching, it is really weird to see those people in the church. And then it struck me. And it's even weirder for me to be up here preaching. I had no concept of where God would take me. And so when I speak to you about ministry, don't try to figure that out. You don't need to figure that out. You need to start where you're at. And I believe that God wants us to cultivate that as a church body. And one of the things I'm asking you, that if you sense that God is calling you in a particular area, I want to meet with you on Wednesday night, and I'm going to share some things with you that's going to take us on a course. I'll guarantee you that you'll be much more effective in the area that God has called you to. In Acts chapter 13, 2, listen to this. The Apostle Paul, the apostles were together. And it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate, or to appoint or to release, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The Holy Spirit said, separate them. The Holy Spirit did something. The Holy Spirit spoke. Now he was calling the apostles to do something. He was calling the apostles or man to release Paul and Barnabas into what they had called them to. So once we go through a time, this is what we want to do. We want to go through a period of growing in our ministry gifting. And then as a body of believers, we'll be releasing certain people in the ministry so that they'll be more effective than they ever have before. Because I'm convinced that as people move in ministry, that we as leaders can either hold them back or we can let them run. And I want this to be a place that just releases people to do what God has called them to do. But I don't want them to release them without proper training. What I mean by that is you don't have to run up against a brick wall all the time, because often I find that that is what discourages people more than anything. They feel called in a certain area, and then they begin to do things without any training or wisdom whatsoever, and they just get shot down, and that's discouraging. That deflates your faith, and so you learn to keep your horns in. But I'm convinced with a little bit of training, and things can shift and change. And so we're going to be going through a bit of a school of ministry in the days ahead. So we want to separate people to whatever it is God is, where God is sensing, or where you sense God's call in your life. The scripture in Matthew is just as real today as it was when I first read it. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful. You were faithful with just a little bit of thing. You were faithful in the measure of faith that you received. You were faithful in a few things. You were faithful." Then he raises them up. "I make you ruler over many things." And I'm convinced if we are faithful in little things, God will pour his anointing upon those little things, and those little things will become big things. Those little things will become huge. There are people today who are influencing thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people today that were faithful in the very little thing. Joyce Meyer would be a good example. When she started out, she preached her heart out to a few people. When is it ever going to break through? She went through years of that and discouragement, but she was faithful. You see, we have to come to the place where we are walking in obedience to the Lord, that when we start out with the measure of faith that we have, that if it never went any further, we're going to keep on going. Because it's faith. That's what faith does. Just continues on. Continue. And yes, discouragement can come. But knowing that you're in the will of the Lord, that will push you through. That will help you carry you through. And part of training in ministry is learning what to do when faith seems weak and victory lost. What do you do in those kind of situations? How do you protect yourself so that it doesn't devastate you when things happen contrary to what the Word of God says? There's many things that will speak to us. Now, I'm encouraged to start out on this track. And it's going to be a bit different than what we've experienced before. And one of the things is you've had, Doug Snyder from Oshawa was here, and we've been friends for years. And Doug has developed a lot of ministry where he's at. Has a large church in Canada that would be considered a mega church, and many ministries taking place. And he's going to be coming in from time to time, and he's going to be helping us in this particular area as well. There's some areas that I believe that God has given me giftings in that I try to release to you. There's other areas I just feel like I don't have a clue in. But when you're hooked up with other people, then you can draw on their strengths. And together we'll go further than we ever could by ourselves. But I believe 2013 is going to be a pivotal year for us. Jesus has come to impart his very life to us. He's saying, "You are worth it. You are worth it to me. You are worth it for me to pour my life into you." Osondo babasite, loboboshite kasondo babesete, oboboshite kasondo lomandasende. Ibabe sende baba soto lo mambo shite barasondo, bite la manda sondo, lite basondo crescende, haha, suko lo babo shite barasondo, bebe sinde, la manda sondo boroshite, le baba sondo. For there are many who have not yet entered in that I am calling to you to this day. As you will trust me and move out in my spirit, I will lead and give you the direction that will help those to see things that you've already seen. As yet, the blindness are over the eyes of many. But me working with you and you working with me, that blindness will come down, and I'll put you at the right place at the right time to be able to speak my word that will go and release the captives free. You see, it is still within my desire to see the prisoners go free. Many are held captive by different tactics of the enemy, and I have you in this specific place to go and set the captive free, using the keys that I release to you in order to unlock the door to allow those to go through. And as they walk through, they'll become just like you, having a desire to serve me and to run after me, and together we'll rejoice because the kingdom of God is flourishing and increasing in this place that you called Prince Edward Island.